Before we jump in, I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of the leadership for just the way that you guys have served. The last few months especially, it's been very common on like Saturday night or even Sunday morning to scramble and find replacements for greeting and worship team and nursery. And it's been just kind of chaotic because of the season that we're in. And so, man, thank you guys for being willing to step in so often and fill in roles, especially last minute. And so we're just really appreciative of that. This morning, can I tell a blonde joke? I know it's 2021, so it's dicey, but anyone good with that? Okay, cool. So there are three blondes out on a walk, and they come across some tracks. And the first one says, "Hey, look, it's a set of deer tracks." And the second one says, those aren't deer tracks, those are elk tracks. The third one, it's like, you both are clearly blind. Those are not deer tracks or elk tracks, those are moose tracks. And that's when the train hit them. So, you really shouldn't laugh at that, that's terrible. We're talking about walking this morning. Who we walk with, where we walk, and how we walk are pretty important. And over the next really few months, as we dive into this victory theme that we have kicked off last week, we're just going to be looking at individuals in the Bible and just kind of studying their life one Sunday at a time. This Sunday, that individual is Enoch. And Enoch is a character that is relatively unknown. There's only about five verses, I think, in total in the Bible that speaks about Enoch. And really, maybe the thing that you may know about Enoch, he was one individual who the Bible says didn't actually die. He just was taken to heaven one day by God. And so that intrigues us. We are interested about what that looks like. Like, why did God choose to do that for Enoch? And the Bible doesn't really give an answer. We just know that's the case. But the other thing that we know about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, just a few verses tell us this. Enoch walked with God 300 years and fathered other sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not there because God took him. So twice we are told that Enoch walked with God. When the Bible talks about walking with God, really what it's talking about is the conduct of your life. You know, it wasn't a physical in the presence of God, they're walking around strolling together. It's the conduct of how he lived his life, the way that he handled himself. And so we're going to look at what that means. How does it look to walk with God? And the first thing that we see is that to walk with God, it requires a faith in him. One of the only other places in Scripture where it mentions Enoch is in Hebrews chapter 11. This is what we often refer to as the Hall of Faith chapter. And in verse 5, it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away, and so he did not experience death. He was not to be found because God took him away. For before he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God. Now without faith, is it impossible to please God? Since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." This may seem kind of rudimentary, but without faith in God, it is impossible to walk with God. And I think sometimes we can have this mistaken belief, especially within the culture. People think, well, I can just turn to God when I need him. Whenever someone is sick, I'll pray and ask that God helps them. But my day-to-day life, the conduct of my life, my everyday walk looks nothing like having faith in him. It's just that he's there when I want him to be there and when it's convenient for me to ask him to help me. But the truth is that God doesn't walk with those who do not have faith in him. He's accepting of everyone. He's open to everyone who would choose to do that. But until we surrender our life to him, putting our trust and faith in him, then we do not have that walk with God. And this morning, if that is you, then we can change that. Today would be a great day to begin that walk. It's exciting that we have someone who's going to do that later, and we are rejoicing for that. David Wydick will be taking his first step in his walk with Jesus later today by putting his faith in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, it says. The next aspect of walking with God, again, the conduct of our life, is fellowship with him. I was going over this sermon this week and was just thinking, and it struck me that a few weeks ago, actually, Austin Black had put something on Facebook about his reading in the YouVersion app, the Bible app. And so I reached out and just was asking if I could share what he was saying. And what he mentioned was that he just, in a period where he was just having a difficult time, had committed himself to trying to be in the Word daily. And you know, that app tells you the streak that you're in. And I don't remember what his streak was, but he was just saying in this post how grateful he was that he'd been committed to that and how much it had affected his life. And I don't think that is a coincidence. And I think Austin would tell you the same thing, that as we strive to walk with Jesus, that means fellowship with him. That means we are striving to get to know his character, that we are striving to build that relationship. And that doesn't happen apart from study of his word on a consistent basis, where we're learning the things that he cares about, and we're tuning our heart to be in line with his and make sure that we are aware of the fact that we have to walk in fellowship with him. Look at Jesus' life, and in a different way, not only do we have to be in the Word, but spending time in prayer. If there was anyone who probably could have gotten away with not spending time with God the Father, it would have been Jesus, but we are told that he often withdrew by himself to pray. So how much more so do we need to be of that mindset? You can't build a relationship with someone. You can't walk with someone and get to know them if you're not spending time with them on a daily, consistent basis. Psalm 119 talks about this and our desire to be in the Word here up on the screen. Starting in verse 9, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you." I wonder, do we have the same desire and the same longing for the word that we see here? Do we crave it? Do we want it more than anything else? Do we want to know the commands of our Father, so that we can build that relationship and that the conduct of our life looks like what it needs to look like? There was a pretty significant event that happened Wednesday, and of many, many of the sad things that occurred that day, probably the saddest thing were the symbols that were carried among the rioters, of the cross and the flags, saying things like "Jesus saves." And you're welcome to feel however you want about what happened that day, but for no second are you able to believe that Jesus had any part of what happened. Jesus was offered political power once and he turned it down. He didn't want any part of it. And the only way that you can be a follower of Jesus and believe that God was behind what was occurring there and that you were on God's side in that moment was for you to not be in fellowship with him on a consistent basis. It's so easy when we don't spend time consistently in his word and in the prayer closet getting to know him and listen to him, and when we're not striving to make the conduct of our life look like what it needs to, and we're not making sure that our heart is in line with his, it is so easy to stray off course and believe that God cares about things that he simply doesn't care about. And it's so easy to get our priorities mixed up when we're not consistently every day striving to build that fellowship with him. Not only do we walk by faith and we walk in fellowship with him, but we also walk in obedience. And this may be the greatest indicator of kind of a checkpoint of, man, am I doing this correctly? Does the conduct of my life look like what it needs to? Am I obeying what God has asked me to do? 1 John 2, in verse 3 through 6, says this. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, and yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Pretty simple. He lays it out very clearly. If we claim to know God, if we claim to be walking with him, but we're not doing what he says, if we're not keeping his commands and obeying the things that he has instructed us to, then we are actually not walking with him. There's a list in Galatians chapter 5 that spells out exactly what some of those commands are. Starting in verse 16, it says this, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Here Paul's talking about walking with the Spirit as opposed to walking with the flesh. And when he talks about flesh, he doesn't mean our physical bodies. What he's talking about is really everything that is of self. In fact, as I was reading this week, the way that someone said maybe that they remember this, that if you take flesh and flip it around and then drop the H, you get the word self. Our natural inclination to really want to do what is against God, that our natural inclination to carry out the list that is following what we've read, sexual immorality, moral impurity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, those type of things that we give into, that's what it looks like to give into the flesh. And Paul is saying that in order to obey God, in order to carry out the obedience that he requires, we have to fight against that and walk with the Spirit. There is a show, it's been off the air for years, Seinfeld, that was on in the 90s, I thought of when I was thinking of this sermon. There's an episode where George, who is kind of the loser of the show, if anything bad happens, it's going to happen to George. He's always making bad decisions. And so within this particular episode, George does some reflecting and he decides that every decision that he's ever made has been wrong. From the clothes that he wears to even the things that he eats. And he's like, my life is nowhere near where I want it to be. And so he's sitting at a restaurant, and the waitress comes up, and she asks him, hey, you want the usual tuna on toast with coleslaw and coffee? And he's like, yeah, sure. But before she leaves, he's like, no, wait. If every decision I make is wrong, then I want the exact opposite of that. I want chicken salad on rye with potato salad and a tea. And so him and his friends, they kind of start joking, and they come to this conclusion that if every decision that George has ever made is wrong, if his instincts are always wrong, then if he just does the opposite of what his first instinct is, then his life will turn out great. And even in the restaurant, as he finishes his order, someone notices there's a woman at the counter who looks over at him. And so they tell him, hey, you should go talk to that girl. He's like, yeah, right. 40-year-old bald men who live with their parents and don't have a job, don't approach strange women. And they say, well, if all of your instincts are wrong, then you should do the opposite of this. And so he goes to the counter and strikes up this conversation, and she's interested. And so from that point on, the rest of the episode, George decides, every inclination that I have, every instinct that I have, has to be wrong. And so if I just don't follow that instinct and do the exact opposite of what I think I should do, my life will turn out really well. Really, the way that we walk by the Spirit as opposed to walking with the flesh works in much the same way. Oftentimes, our first instinct is not to do what the Spirit calls us to do. It is not natural for us to humble ourselves and serve someone else. It is not natural for us to not respond when someone offends us in anger and hate. It is not natural for us to bite our tongue whenever we would really like to get one more dig in there at the person that we're talking to. But that's how the flesh operates. And when we walk with the Spirit and we strive to walk in obedience to what God has called us to do, it's often making decisions against ourselves and against the flesh so that we can continue to walk with the Spirit in the way that God has called us to. There's not much that we know about Enoch. His life was early on. There's a genealogy given in Genesis 5, where we were earlier, and it talks about how really around his time, very few people were following what Jesus wanted them to do, what God had called them to. And in Jude, it tells us the only other place in the Bible where it mentions Enoch's life was that he was a prophet who declared the commands of God and spoke out to those who were not walking with God, whose conduct of their life did not match up with what God wanted them to do. But Enoch was different. For 300 years, he walked with God. And what intrigues us about that is, about him, is again, the fact that God just took him to heaven, and I don't know why God would choose to do that, but really the more important thing about him is the fact that he walked with God. What a legacy for us to strive for. At the end of our life, if all that was said of us from the people who knew us was that, yeah, they walked with God, I think that'd be a pretty good, pleasing life to the Father. And so this morning, if you've never taken that step, if you have never committed your life and surrendered it to Jesus, again, we can make that happen. Or maybe if you feel like you've wandered from that path, that, man, I'm not spending time in fellowship with God. I'm not following him in obedience the way I should. Today's a good day to get back on track with that. And maybe you are doing those things, and by God's grace, continue to do that until the end of your life so that we can look back and say, that person walked with God. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful just for your son. We are grateful for the victory that we have in him. We thank you for just your cross and that salvation that we have through your resurrection. God, we lift up all these things to you in Jesus' name and ask that as we continue to worship, that we would just give you the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. One final thing, at the end of that passage in Galatians 5, says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The victory that we have is because the flesh has been crucified. And we celebrate that now with David's decision as he comes forward. Will you guys stand and sing?